Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture Fellow Jeffrey Simmons, who has been a licensed and practicing physician for over 40 years. He is a lecturer, radio personality, and author of 9 books, including What Darwin Didn't Know, which discusses intelligent design in the human body and is now in its 10th printing. Today he joins us to talk about touch. Thanks for being here today, Dr. Simmons.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thank you.
Well, today we're going to start out our podcast by talking about a recent project of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. They are working on the Haptics Project, which stands for Hand Proprioception and Touch Interfaces. DARPA's Haptics Program aims to complete a prosthetic hand connected to nerve stimulation for a sense of touch. So the project uses cuffs to encircle nerves fitted with multiple electrodes that stimulate different parts of nerves associated with the hand trigger's feeling in the prosthetic. So this feeling allows completion of delicate tasks such as plucking a grape. And actually, Haptics hopes to have a product ready for clinical trials in the next several years. This is pretty exciting. Trying to make prosthetic hands that can actually feel. What are your thoughts on this development, Dr. Simmons?
Yeah, this is interesting, and I have an overall view of this in a sense. I have often thought, and I have often wrote, and actually talked about, I think man's trying to make man in his own image, because we're so well designed, it's a good design to copy. And so, and we're coming up with artificial kidneys, coming up with artificial hearts. We can make bladders by 3D copying in plastic and then grow the cells on them. It's not science fiction to think that we will be able to make and replicate large parts of the body in the relatively near future, and that's probably a difficult term to define. It certainly won't be in our lifetime. But this particular article talks about the hand, and this gentleman who they use, he can feel. Actually, he's got this plastic or type of plastic and metal prosthesis, and yet he can feel what he's grabbing. It feels like he's feeling his own hand doing it, which is incredible. I mean, we've had prostheses where a muscle contraction in the forearm or the arm or two would control things and make fingers work, and of course, they would look at what they're doing and grab what they're doing, and it was not very fine touch. This gentleman can feel with it. And so they put these electrodes on nerves in the arm itself, and he actually can feel what he's doing. And they come out of the surface of the skin, and they're connected to this arm or hand. Impressive. And it's not at all beyond my conception for the future. I mean, if you read or follow Star Wars, you see that type of phenomenon. Well, I think it's coming also, but not too soon. And I don't know that we can ever, obviously, replicate the body, and certainly the brain is one of them. But we certainly are coming up with alternatives. They're coming up better and better, more sophisticated, smaller, and more usable. And so the hand is interesting. And I hadn't come across anything about being able to feel as it was described in this article. So yeah, I'm glad you sent it to me. I found it interesting. But I speak all over the country. I have, in fact, we've even talked in Europe about my book and ideas. And we talk about the human body reflecting design. It isn't possible that we can have all these trillions of cells, multiple functions of each, all working together that all happened at the same time. It's almost like building a bridge from here to Europe in one swipe. I mean, all the things that you need to do that. It's complicated. And it's even the little cell that makes up all this, a little building block in my book I describe as being more complicated than New York and Hong Kong, all the big cities put together. There's millions of compounds within there. There's millions of functions in there. So you have not only small units with lots of complex activity, but you have huge ones that work together as well. So we're talking about touch. And if you can envision the body for an instant being covered with this extremely fine net. Every surface, every possible nook and cranny of the body has got this electronic net. And this net can feel anything that you touch. And it has a variety of types of cells and corpuscles, as they're called, that do things. But this gives us a surveillance of our environment at all times. I mean, you may not realize it, but you're feeling what your sock is feeling in your shoe. You're feeling what your shoulder's feeling with your clothes. Your nose is feeling perhaps what your glasses are doing without you even realizing it. But if anything were to happen, like a splinter in your toe or your glasses were to shift, you know instantly what happened because you have this constant monitoring going on. You're like a fortress surrounded by an electronic fence with a biological net. If your clothes are too tight, your shoes are too loose, a dinner roll is too hard to chew, or when you pick it up, it's hard, humidity is going up, the temperature is going down, you feel all these things. If you get a wound, you feel that in an instant. If it gets infected, you feel that it's getting worse. Your body tells you, by feel, in part, that you're getting worse and it needs your attention. You get yourself hurt, it like screams out for your attention. You just burn your hand on a hot stove, it tells you in an instant, get your hand off of there. It's very protective, it's very important for our survival. And again, like all parts of the body, it's very, very complicated. And so we can distinguish millions of things, basically, that are action and also inaction. The fact that nothing's happening in your shoe with your sock, you're also being able to tell that. You can tell with something called Meissner's corpuscles whether the injury or the interaction is sharp or dull. You can tell texture. There's something called the Paxinian corpuscle, which tells you about pressure, stretch, and vibration. So Meckel's disc tells whether it's a continuous feeling. And of course, notably, if it's continuous, your body adjusts. So like your shoe, you might feel it go on, but that feeling is there all the time. It's not a threat. So you kind of forget about it. There's the Ruffini corpuscles, which feel heavy pressure, and there's proprioception ones that tell you where things are. Your hand in relation to the other hand, your index finger in relation to your thumb, what you're touching at all times. You may be touching something right now that's wooden, metal, or glass without giving it any thought, but your hand knows it. And if you shift your attention to that, you realize that you're actually feeling that. And touch comes with the base of the hairs also. I mean, we have an excess of, some of us, excess of 5 million hairs. And any type of hair movement will tell us information as well. It maintains, touch maintains our body image. We know what's going on at all times. We know where our body is, what our body is doing, what our body is in relation to everything around us. If the temperature drops about 4 degrees, we can sense it immediately, and usually it's in the face, the fingers. If the temperature goes up about 2 degrees, every 2 degrees, those sensations are all over the body, and the body picks up on that if it goes up 2 degrees. So you pretty much know, and it'll tell you that something's going on. You feel hot in a room, well, your body's telling you that you feel warm. So there's a lot of things that go into touch. Emotion and attitude play a role. For instance, the feeling of a dog rubbing up against the back of your leg and a child rubbing up against the back of your leg may feel identical, but you add another twist to it in your own mind and know what it is. Your sense of touch and how that passes by the back of your leg, you can pretty much identify it. If not, your body gives you a signal and you look. Going back to this gift of pain, that's what I call it. I mean, you touch a hot stove, that's a gift that you get your hand off there immediately, gets your attention. But there are a lot of chemicals that are involved in this, and prostaglandins are one of them, which set up inflammation, and so you feel that inflammation. Serotonin, histamines, and bradykinins are other chemicals that are in there. They all have different roles. And so if you injure yourself like a pinprick, that travels at 98 feet per second. So if you're 6 feet tall, or 4 feet tall, it doesn't matter, it's there in an instant that you have it. You can retract in an instant or do what you have to do. So when it comes to touch and the idea of irreducible complexity, I don't know how we could have had an organism with partial touch that evolved into all these things. It's almost as if somebody was standing there directing it in a controlled evolution. And it's hard to know entirely what types of touch other animals have. We know that unicellular organisms have some type of touch. You can make an amoeba go the other way by touching it. So touch is there. To have such complicated touch, be able to sort it all out and have it all there at the same time, begs the question as to whether it could have happened all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that touch is often considered the most complex sense. And it's kind of interesting to think, how successful and how long will it take to imitate with any sort of accuracy the way that we are able to feel touch? I mean, not just sensing that something is there, but feeling if it's there over a continuous amount of time, or, you know, feeling pain. It'll be interesting to see what prosthetics can do as they try to imitate the human body.
People think, or some people think, scientists think they're going to be able to copy the human body, but it's going to be many lifetimes ahead of us if they even come close. And my feeling is that they'll never even get close. This is so, so complicated. Like I said, this net that we have over our body with multiple types of receptors, I mean, this net is so fine that basically it has no holes in it. And it's incredible, and it speaks to design. We call it sometimes the sixth sense, along with vision and hearing. And indeed, it is an enormous sense.
Well, to learn more about the sense of touch, read Dr. Simmons' book, What Darwin Didn't Know. Thanks for joining us on the show today, Dr. Simmons.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.